the PASL Podcast CMO Series.
Welcome to the PASL Podcast, where we talk about professional services, business development and marketing, and how you can be more authentic and effective at both. Joining me, I've got Barney O'Kelly, Founder and Managing Director of Hagen Communications, and an expert in all things professional services marketing. Barney, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Sam.
We're talking today about getting the viewpoints of your experts and how that works with your marketing strategy. So the first question that I'd like to ask you, Barney, how do those viewpoints of the experts that you work with and the professional services firms that you advise, how do those viewpoints fit into the marketing strategy that you're applying?
So I think they're incredibly important insofar as professional services are typically expertise-driven advisory businesses. So clients want to be engaging with and instructing people who are clearly knowledgeable in their field. It gives them a sense of security that they've got the right people on the job. So those insights work really well in terms of building the personal brand of the individual and the brand of the organization through those collective personal brands. It's quite an important thing for businesses to consider, because the strength of the brand alone isn't always enough to get the work through the door. So those individuals need to be able to demonstrate expertise, immersion in the issues affecting clients, and be visible in the market. So it's a really critical part of any strategy for a professional services business.
So essentially in firms where you're buying experts, those experts need to be demonstrating the fact that they're experts to the market before the market wants to buy.
I would say so, yes. And I think particularly now we're in the sort of the digital age where people are looking at individuals before they've even met them. So, you know, when you walk into a room, the more reassurance somebody has that you're the right person to be in that room, the better.
Mm. So, and then the follow-on question then, the natural kind of continuation of that is, in your marketing and your business development advisory, how are you going about engaging those experts and extracting the insights and encouraging them to be more visible?
So there's a number of different approaches I think you have to take. One of the main ones is convenience factor. So you need to make this easy for them to do. In pretty much any professional services business, the most sort of premium resource is time. So anything that eats into people's time that could be deployed in other activities can be slightly unwelcome. So convenience is a big piece. The other thing is these are intensely competitive environments. By and large, professional services businesses employ smart, high-achieving individuals who, you know, they want to be top of their field. So that internal competition point can be quite effective as well. Either you do it in a metricated way or you do it anecdotally. And those anecdotes, not just have you heard that such and such is posting all this content, it's have you heard that such and such has had these conversations with clients on the back of content they've posted. So that outcome and communicating that outcome and how those are materializing more regularly can be quite a persuasive argument as well.
So make it as easy as possible for people to be able to complete it, and then also relate it to the business outcome and the competition that's so ingrained into the nature of the people that are working in these firms.
Yeah, I mean, they are part, that approach is part of a strategy. It's not the entirety of it. So there are some cases where shorter, more timely insights aren't necessarily the right answer. You're trying to build brand awareness of a business as well as the individual. So you have the cumulative effect of a number of individuals just sharing their insights with the world. But then you also need something that draws on the brand positioning of the organization as a whole. And that might be a more comprehensive piece of thinking, like a signature piece of content. A lot of professional services businesses have got sort of stuck in the middle with producing middle weight pieces of content where most of the effort goes into the production and not enough goes into the distribution. And therefore you're not getting the reach, and therefore you're not generating the outcomes that you really want to be generating from doing anything with content in the first place.
Yeah. So don't get stuck in the middle ground and equally be very aware of the people that you're extracting those insights from, and be as sensitive to their situation or as empathetic of what they're trying to achieve as possible.
Yeah, so I also think another aspect in getting people to generate these insights is those of us in marketing need to do some of the homework for them. And that will differ for different individuals. Some people will be kind of straight out of the blocks. I've got 100 ideas and I want to share them with the world. Some people will be a little less comfortable with either adopting a strong point of view or knowing how to frame their idea in the right way. So you need to help them overcome that. At its most extreme, you would almost break down what that thought should be for them and let them fill in the gaps. But I'm less inclined towards that approach because it's incredibly labor intensive. And typically in most professional services organizations, the marketing people are outnumbered quite heavily by the sort of the experts in the business, quite rightly so. So you can't accommodate everybody in that way.
So there's a supporting role there, but you're not able to be entirely shifting all that workload onto yourself. The experts still need to be engaging and driving the thought leadership.
Yeah, I'd hesitate at the use of the word supporting if I was being picky. I'd say it's a coaching role. So you need to sort of help them understand what good practice looks like by sort of demonstrating that through them, rather than just necessarily sort of helping them do it every single time. It's a bit like teaching a kid to ride a bike. You know, it's a tortured analogy, but you know, sometimes at some point the stabilizers have got to come off, and they're either on their own and they're comfortable doing it, or they may never crack it, or somewhere in between those two extremes.
I like the analogy where you have the experts in law or consulting or accounting, whatever the profession is, they are the experts in that discipline, and marketing equally of itself is a discipline, and you're the experts in getting in front of the right people and ensuring that your content has the right form and the right distribution mechanisms. Equally, those two parts need to come together when you're doing something like this.
Yeah, and that's where the focus on outcomes becomes really important, because that understanding of what you're trying to achieve is a place where those two disciplines come together. What you have otherwise is what I call the sort of the paradox of expertise-driven marketing, whereby as a marketer, you don't fully understand the technical competence or the industry understanding that someone's trying to convey. So if you're left to do that yourself, you'll do a worse job of it than they will. And as a technical expert, they don't really understand what marketing and communications should look like. So you end up with a tension, which is why I tend to characterize those middle level projects as, you know, a good outcome in those is everybody still speaking to each other. Whereas actually the outcomes need to be around creating the environment and the opportunities for that business to engage with clients and win work fundamentally.
The final question here, Barney, to round off this very, very brief podcast. How has this process, or how has extracting the insights from the experts and weaving that into your marketing strategy, how has that changed the way, in your opinion, that the firms you're advising interact with the market?
I think they do so in greater volume, but the cost of endeavor is lower. So that they're making more noise, which in and of itself is not always a good thing. But with that comes greater visibility, greater awareness of the organization and the individuals. And the convenience factor that I talked about earlier, it is a big part of that. You know, the traditional mechanics of a lot of professional services marketing departments make the process of marketing come across as quite frustrating sometimes. And that's just an unintended consequence of trying to put things in order. And professional services businesses are typically quite diverse in terms of the skills and industries that they work in. So your internal marketplace is very broad in terms of people who want your time. So it makes taking relatively small ideas, maybe around big concepts, out into the world really straightforward. And what that should typically do is create more capacity and headspace in the marketing team to focus on those signature brand building pieces, you know, the kind of how the organization goes to market as an entity, how it wants to be seen in the world, those kinds of things. Whereas those middleweight type projects, they tend to take up a lot of that resource. So the stuff that really needs the marketing attention doesn't get it. And there's a tension further down where people who have really good ideas aren't getting the support or the help that they need. So they get frustrated. So it does help sort of dissipate a lot of that frustration in an organization. And it also means the individuals themselves take greater responsibility for their ideas and packaging up those ideas into something short and insightful, and also thinking about their audience, thinking about where they want to put it, and thinking about what points of view they should be having. One recent conversation I had with somebody, they said, it makes me read things in a different way, because they're kind of thinking, I'm reading this and I should have a point of view about it, rather than just reading it to consume the content. Yeah. Content creation has exploded in professional services, and in and of itself, it doesn't have a huge amount of innate value. It's either there to build brand awareness, whether of the organization or the individuals, and or generate conversations with clients. If it's not doing one of those three things, then it's not really an effective piece of content. So it's less around marketers helping shape content. That is part of the role, but marketing is more about research and strategy in terms of where's the audience, what do we need to be telling them, than it is about how do we package up this content. And that's where putting some of the more sort of time-driven types of short insight back into the hands of the experts in the business helps you free up space to do more of the research and strategy stuff than it does the sort of the creative content and packaging side of things.
Okay, Barney, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It's been brilliant to have your expertise. We look forward maybe to talking to you again sometime.
Nice one. Thanks a lot for having me, Sam. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us for the PASL Podcast CMO series. If you'd like to catch more episodes, you can see this at blog.pasl.net. You can also subscribe to catch fresh episodes as soon as they come out. If you've got questions that you'd love us to pose to CMOs in the legal and professional services industries, you can send those to marketing@pasl.net. We'll catch you on the next episode.